morning, DM. So far, I've seen UDM from the office. I'm seeing Mr. Kiamzashe, Sivuile. Let me also greet our visitors from Sports Trust. Honorable members, today it's one of those days that the majority of members, they've indicated that they are going to the house. And we all know that according to Parliament, members must be in the bus 12:30. So I wish that we must be businesslike. I'm taking this opportunity to welcome everybody who's in the platform, except that we know what was going on yesterday, a very important day, where the president of the country, together with the ministry and also our own minister, they've recognized the yesterday's day, Human Rights Day. Some of us, it is so important to be still alive when we're still celebrating this day. Simanqabanqeba ngokunyashwa kwamalungelo wethu bantu basemzansi, ngakumbi kuthi thina abantu abangomama nabantwana nabantu abaphysically let me say nabantu aba physically challenged. Mandisho ndithi ikwasothusile ukuthi sibone ilungelo likamama wethu uEsther Mahlangu esenziwa. What we've been always saying, that the scourge of violence against women, children, and the people with physically challenged is going on, let alone with our old citizens. This kumhlola, we need okokuba siyikhuze, we need a protection to us as women of South Africa. I'm raising this, sometimes we are just even careless in this committee, forgetting that this thing of protection of women and respecting each and everyone's idea, it's very important that you must practice, but you also must know that tranquility begins at home. If phako wenu ayidliwa intloko egusha ungekho, sometimes sinibona apha, sibonana apha ekomitini ukuthi sometimes we do practice that. And of trembling on somebody's right whilst you want your own right to be recognized. We must practice in order that going out to our communities, funeke senze njengoba sithethe. Ndiyavula ke lo mhlangano, ndisithi department ngubani okoyo namhlanje apha.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, I'm the voting, I'm voting to the Director General, Department of Sport and Culture. I will then switch off the video and greet all the honorable members of this portfolio committee. As well as just to indicate, Honorable Chairperson, that in the meeting today, we have the advice to the Minister, Mr. Mtobekang Rashe. Then we've got our leader of the delegation, our Deputy Minister, Minister Mafu, Deputy Minister Mafu. And then we've got Simpiwe, the Chief Director, Simpiwe Mnobe. And then we've got DDG Khan. We've got Sivuyile. We've got Bongi, the director in the DG's office, as well as we've got Lordwick Ralimipi, also in the DG's office, and the parliamentary liaison officer, which is Mr. Simeon Kanunu. Honorable Chairperson, I submit.
You have got a lot of noise while you're speaking. I cannot even want to say what is it, as if we are perusing papers. Guard against when you are speaking again, that noise must not be with us. Thank you so much, DG. Good morning, Honorable DM. We are welcoming you again in the meeting. Let me go to the Sports Trust, who's here.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning, Honorable Mayor. Chairman of the Finance Committee, who is Mr. Gerard Steyn, and the Executive Director, Ms. Anita Matthews, and we've got the Finance Financial Controller, Ms. Katlego Modisane, and lastly, we've got Mr. Smanga Matoleni, the Head of Stakeholder Management and Projects. Honorable Chair, I just want to just take a few minutes just to give you you know, a bit of a background of the Sports Trust, who we are, and
Not now. Thank you so much, Mr. Matebula. You when time comes, you'll do what you wanted to do. Thank you so much. Okay. Honorable members, do we have apologies? Soleka Jamu.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, we have an apology from Minister Mthethwa, who is traveling from Joburg to Cape Town, and when he lands, he's going to be attending a special cabinet meeting. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other apologies? We don't have that. Honorable members, I'm putting you in front of you the agenda. Anyone to adopt the agenda?
Yes, Chair.
Chairperson?
Yes, Chair.
Yes. I've seen the hand of Honorable Malomane. Honorable Malomane.
Thank you, and greetings, Chair, and greetings to everyone present in the meeting. I move for the adoption of the agenda. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Honorable Malomane. I've seen the hand of Honorable Adams.
Thank you, Chairperson. and greetings to all on the platform. Chairperson, I second the proposal. I thank you.
Honorable members, the agenda is in front of us and it has been seconded. I'll see any hand which is against the secondment of the agenda. If not, let me take this opportunity also to greet the Honorable Deputy Minister. Honorable Deputy Minister, as the leader of this department today, we are greeting you. You have been in the rural areas, the Mampondweni, hoping that usiphathele landawo lantimandi yapha ekhaya ebubutyebi bapha eMampondweni ekusithi sifundise ngayo abantwana. Kodwa kandazi uba ubuzayiqhusheka phi ngoba asikayifumani indlela yokuba sithi sikhulekile singahla senyuka nayo. Siyakwamkela, DM.
Thank you very much.
Ndisebenzise lilungelo lam besendililibele uba ndingasithetha nesiNtu. Thank you, DM.
Thank you. Chair, today the Sports Trust is coming to present to the Portfolio Committee. I'm not going to waste your time. All I'm going to do is just allow the DG to give the overview. As usual, I'll come at the end when we are answering questions. And thank you very much.
Thank you, DM. Siyabonga nonvaba. DG.
Chairperson, thank you very much and much appreciated. I would remove the mask then, Chairperson, and just also ask for opportunity to just apologize on behalf of Mr. J.P. Lowe. He has been dispersed by the minister together with some of the officials of the department to go to Mama daughter Esther Mashlangu's home.
Good news.
What support she needs. So they have gone there. Honorable Chairperson, we will then take the presentation. May I greet the Chairperson of the Sports Trust from Watebola, as well as the Executive Director, Ms. Anita Matthews, as well as all the members of the Sports Trust Board. And in this regard, Chairperson, we will just give the overview as directed by our Honorable Deputy Minister on the Sports Trust. As we have all known, that government can't do business alone. From long time, the vision was partnering with the private sector is one of the critical things to do. And the Sports Trust is a product of such collaboration. But also including working with the constituencies within the sports, as we will outline here in the sports fraternity, who also is part of this body. So Sports Trust annual report, they will table distribution of funds to athletes and the federations during the lockdown is one of the things where we have relied upon their capability to help us meet just trying to reduce the impact of the COVID. So who is this Sports Trust? This is an independent organization established soon upon the dispensation of democracy in the country. And it was launched in 1995 by the private sector and public sector, which is what the Constitution enjoins us to do, to explore public-private partnerships. Also, then the issue of partners. From the beginning, included the banking sector under the umbrella of my bank, the Sun International, which then also was then Gold Mines and SAB, as well as Coca-Cola. But within the sporting fraternity or sector, it has incorporated the issues of the Department of Sport and Recreation in South Africa, South African Football Association, South African Rugby Union, Cricket SA, as well as PGA Sunshine, that is the golf sector, as sport federation. These organizations have then since been part and parcel of how the board has been constituted. If we then move to slide number 4, Chairperson, we will then name, Lord, can you move to slide 4? Lordwick, the sports trust then focuses on the working with the department on the efforts and the most important thing that we all speak about of ensuring
I can
that
hardly hear you.
There is greater access.
Who's talking? And
opportunities, particularly in disadvantaged communities. This is an effort to ensure that Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, there is redress, which is one of the key areas also that the Commission enjoins us to do for those who are previously disadvantaged. And this has been mainly a bigger focus on the infrastructure in particular. Now, when we look at the key focus areas, this will be about the development of sport courts, particularly to schools, and this course will then always have multiple purpose functionality or cover multiple codes of sport. That would be such as netball, tennis, basketball, volleyball, even five-a-side football. Sport and equipment and attire, as well as special process might be identified on that of and that will include the issue of the construction of Netball World Cup and Legacy Courts. Now, this is done in conjunction with Netball SA. The Sports Trust then is rolling out these courts, mainly the double courts, which includes one court that deals with the netball itself, and then the other one with multiple purpose, such as tennis, volleyball, etc. So the schools then are identified by Netball SA. If we move to the next slide, it talks to the budget breakdown of the PSP-related programs. Because of their capability and their experience in financial management and disbursement of funds to the various projects, the department found it necessary to work with Sports Trust to ensure that the Presidential Employment Stimulus Package is also rolled out. This project aims at ensuring that there is jobs were saved, and that is in under the umbrella of retention, but also where possible some jobs were to be created. So they were then allocated a budget of 60 million rand, and then just giving them the breakdown in terms of how this money was dispersed to them in tranches, and to date, they had to implement the project at a cost of 55.2 million rand, while the management fee to manage and implement the project was at 8%, which is 4.8 million rand. So if we then look at that, they have done quite a lot of work in this area, and they have been able to disperse these funds to benefit the athletes and the organizations. If we then look at slide 7, Chairperson talks to the COVID relief, where then we also went to them and asked for their support in disbursement of COVID relief. And in this area, Honorable Chairperson, they were given an amount of 9.4 million rand, of which they have been able to disperse. And currently, they are left with just a balance of 1 million rand or so in terms of spending that money to reach the athletes who deserve that support. So, Chairperson, processes that were related to this department had to do, not Sport Trust. In other words, the receipt of applications, processing and analyzing the applications, adjudication, as well as appeals had to be done by the department, then sports trust would receive those that are approved for them then to facilitate the payment into their accounts. And that is how that was the role of sports trust. Chairperson, I thank you.
Thank you, DG. Honorable members, can we give to Mr. Matebula to do what they are coming to do to us? Mr. Matebula.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and greetings to the Deputy Minister as well. I'm going to just give a brief overview just in addition to what has been said, and I'll hand over to the Executive Director to give a detailed presentation of the programs and projects in the past year. So the board of the Sport Trust at the moment is actually the same as it was when the former Nelson Mandela and the former Minister Tshete, had this vision of having the private sector and the sports sector to come together to develop sports in the country. I'm pleased to tell you that, since that time, since the inception, when former Minister Tshete was basically leading the trust, we had the clean, audit year after year for more than 25 years now, which shows that we've got, a good recipe, through the government and the private sector and the sports sector, we are able to run this entity in a quite professional way. And the other thing I just want to mention to you is that when the trust was formed initially, so the trustees, and I can bet that former Nelson Mandela, President Nelson Mandela had something to do with it. They contributed seed capital into the trust, and pleased to know that seed capital, we still have a portion of it currently, which we get some interest that's partly used for the administration of the trust. Throughout the years, throughout the many years that the trust has been in existence, Madam Chair, we've touched many lives. Thousands of beneficiaries have projects all over the country, actually in all 9 provinces. And our focus has been primarily on the youth. And as you've seen, our slogan, enhancing education through sports. And the reason for that is that we found out that those kids that participate in sports tend to have better scholastic achievement, better education outcomes compared to the kids that are not participating in sports. And the second one, we've also noted that those kids, once we have this sports infrastructure, the kids, are taken away from many social ills in the society because, they don't loiter around in the communities and they get involved in sporting activities. In terms of how we work, Honorable Chair, is that primarily is an implementation agent. So what that means is that
A moment, Mr. Matebula, Honorable Mr.
Chair, apology about Matebula. Yes. I don't see the presentation on the...
No, the presentation is coming. It's just an overview.
Okay, apology.
The presentation is coming, yeah. So in terms of how we run the programs, the sports trust is just an implementation agent. Our trustees, who government is one, and the private sector and some of the sports federations and other partners, they basically appoint us to run programs. However, there's a key aspect there, and the key aspect is the fact that each of the program must actually be aligned to the object of the trustee. So that's basically how we operate, and there's an annual report, which I think you've got a copy with on, that actually shows some of the the programs that we run. And lastly, I just want to mention that the Sports Trust is an open trust. What it means is that we invite anyone in the country that's got interest on sports development to come and present to the board to give us new ideas. And we also encourage any potential funding partner, be it private sector, provinces and local municipalities, or metropolitan municipalities to partner with us as long as the focus is the development of sports in South Africa. Now I'm going to hand over to my executive director, Ms. Anita Matthews, to take you through the details of what happened in the trust in the past year. She will give a presentation on that. Anita?
Honorable Mhlongo, your hand is up. Honorable Mhlongo, thank you. Anita, I thank you. Anita.
Chair, good morning, honorable members, the advisors to the minister. Good morning, deputy minister, the DG and the colleagues from the department. Thank you for the opportunity to once again present at the portfolio committee. If you could just allow us to share a video of the 25-year anniversary of the Sports Trust, just giving a sense of what we've been doing the last 25 years. If you could kindly just advise us, if you could clearly hear the video. Could you mind, Honourable Chair, can you share?
It's already on the screen.
Okay, thank you.
You gotta have the courage. Do you have the courage to act outwardly on what you see inwardly? Or will you die a dreamer? Will you die on the verge and on the edge and on in the land of coulda, woulda, and shoulda?
Sorry, Anita, the video is not showing, but just your screen.
Okay, just give us a second.
I've seen something on the screen which is very faint, so I'm not sure when I was saying I've seen on the screen. I'm not sure whether it was what you wanted to show. There it is now.
Yes. We'll start afresh, thank you.
Okay.
You gotta have the courage. Do you have the courage to act outwardly on what you see inwardly? Or will you die a dreamer? Will you die on the verge and on the edge and on, in the land of coulda, woulda, and shoulda? Do you have the courage? I'm going to drop some on you. It takes courage to be successful. It is far easier not to be successful. Misery will always have company. Success breeds contempt. If you don't want to make waves, be mediocre. Be normal and fit in. And if you're more concerned about people than you are God, then neutralize everything he put in you. Just fit in with everybody else. Dress like them, walk like them, act like them, eat like them, go where they go, think like they think, do what they do, and once you neutralize your uniqueness, you don't need courage. It takes courage to be different. It takes courage to go where you never.
Thank you.
Yes, yes, Anita.
We will now proceed. That was just an overview of what we've been doing the last 25 years, and you can see that it's across infrastructure and sports equipment and kit, and it also touches the various
different... The continues to enhance education through sport by supplying sporting kit, equipment, and sports facilities to disadvantaged rural communities, including abled and disabled sport across all sporting codes in South Africa.
Thank you. So it just gave an overview of the various codes of sport. We try and reach all the sports of codes, but it just gave us a sense of what we've been doing over the last 25 years. We will now go into our annual report as per the request to present that. And I'm just getting my colleague Samanga just to load it quickly. We have forwarded the documentation prior to this presentation this morning. So I'm going to go straight into the first few pages deals with the message from the president. Can we go to the contents and then message from the chairman, sorry, and then the message from the executive director, so it's the executive report. But I want to jump straight into the deliverables and the partnerships of the Sports Trust, the collaborations that we have. So, first of all, we have with the Foschini Group that we've upgraded a mini sports ground in Caledon for the community there. And what is of note there is that the code of pool is more prevalent in that community. And so the upgrade of the clubhouse was really to accommodate the youngsters that's playing pool. Because as you know, that where there is no facilities, they normally go in. And so legally, they are not able to participate then if they practice at the cabins. And so we had to upgrade the facility to accommodate the pool code and to ensure that we can then make certain that the young people are also able to participate. So that was the facility in Caledon. In terms of our partnerships with the multi-purpose sports courts, we have rolled out to date since 2010, 105 courts, and it has a 20-year lifespan with a 15-year limited warranty. And you can play five codes of sports on there. It's able and disabled friendly, and it caters for both genders. And it's also maintenance-free in the sense that you only have to mop it or sweep it, and it's environmentally friendly and also moves with the body. So therefore, the impact on the joints is very minimal. And, yeah, it's not so painful as if you were on a hard concrete court where you have to come to a complete stop. Here, it moves with the body. So it's very good for youngsters and so forth. In terms of our collaborations, we have a partnership with the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. And in the period that we're speaking to 2020-21, courts, we were also requested to assist with the COVID-19 Relief Fund program for athletes. And that was a program that was spent that lasted from 2020 until we have just recently in January made some payments of this year as well. So from the direction of the sport or from the department, we will know when that program comes to an end. But we are still in the process of delivering. In terms of the presidential economic stimulus package, we were asked to manage the full program in consultation with SASCOC and the department, and also with the national federations, whom we worked through to then the processes to get applications for the retention of 4,000 jobs. We were able to then retain 5,090 jobs, and we paid a stipend of 3,500 per month. The program was to finish at the 30th of April, however, it was extended to September 2021, and we've now completed that program. We also have the Mandela Day activities that as the trust that we support, and we then, during the parcels and so forth for their families during this time. Another collaboration that we have is one with one of our trustees at Nedbank, which has started the Sports Trust Cycling Development Program. It's been going since 2005, and it is really to give the youngsters from the disadvantaged communities the opportunity to be introduced to the code of sport, as well as to receive the hardware, the actual equipment that will stand them in good stead to participate in various competitions. And I must say, through this program, we have been able to see that two of the youngsters from Khayelitsha then joined a professional team, was able to go and observe the Tour de France through another sponsorship that we received. And this program is ongoing. It caters for the male and female and the disabled youngsters. And recently, just over this past weekend, we had our kids participating in the SA Champs and so forth, as well as the Cape Town Cycle Tour. So it's a program that has yielded good results for the youngsters in the program and the community. We also have the Nedbank Soccer Development Drive. And here we distribute soccer kits and training kits to schools that has been identified by Nedbank through the various branches as a gift back to the communities and the schools that have opened accounts with Nedbank. And these are all disadvantaged schools from across the country. We also have we also with Nedbank do a multi-purpose court, and that is through the Nedbank Cup, where the winning team then gets to decide where the court will be placed. And through that, all the courts have been placed in disadvantaged communities and rural communities thus far. The cricket ball-in facility was supported by Supersport, and this was really to look at the development of women's cricket in that area, because they didn't have a facility that really catered just for the women. The women had to share time with the men, and unfortunately, the time allocated to the women was not sufficient. So they had sent through a proposal to Supersport, and the Sports Trust was then asked to implement the program. The facility is completed, and we're hoping to launch this facility on the 3rd of April this year. We also have our fundraising initiatives, in addition to the partnerships that we have to raise funding for the trust. And unfortunately, due to COVID, it limited our fundraising initiatives. We had a virtual cycle race with our youngsters, and that yielded funding to build a BMX bike park in the area of Pietersburg in the Western Cape, where we found a funder that wanted to support that initiative. In terms of our audited financial statements, since inception, we've had clean audits, and we have tabled our financial statements as per the annual report. Chair, do you want me to take you through the financial statements in detail as per...
Yes. Take us through.
Okay, may I just request that our chairman of the financial committee We'll take you through the financial statements. If I might just request Gerard to join us at this stage.
Good morning, Honourable Chair. It's a privilege to join you all this morning. Before I go through this, may I just say that it's a privilege to be part of this Sports Trust. I really enjoy the objectives and the purpose that they serve. I really do feel that they make a difference in the country through the infrastructure that they put down in the various communities. If I can quickly take you through the financial statements, the balance sheet, you will see in the middle of the page that we have a reserve fund that is quite strong, 24.2 million, that's been built over the past 25 years. We've also got an operating fund positive number of 13.9 million. Those two numbers add up to 38 million. The numbers are reflected in the balance sheet on the asset side through the investments and the cash that we that we have in reserves. It amounts to roughly 75 million rand that we have in investment and in cash reserves. The project that's still busy is in the bottom line as a liability, that's 39.1 million. So maybe just in summary, a very strong balance sheet. Got to commend Anita and her team in really managing the funds of the sports trust very prudently. Honourable Chair, I just want to quickly take you through the income statement for the year. As you can see, 2021 was a very good year. We've accumulated a surplus of 19.4 million, which obviously helps with having these positive cash reserves. Anita, I think that is, in summary, the income statement and the balance sheet. Honourable Chair, if I can leave it at that and ask if there are any questions relating to the annual financial statements.
Thank you so much. Mr. Matebula, you still want your team to say something? Are you done? Honorable members?
Sorry, Honorable Chair, I was on mute. Apologies. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I do.
I'm saying thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I think if we can allow the Honourable Members at this point in time to ask any questions that require clarity or contributions or comments.
Okay.
Thank
you, Honourable Members. I've seen Honourable Mhlongo, Honourable Malomani, Honourable Adams in that order. Thank you.
Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Yes.
We do have a second presentation on distribution of funds. I'm not sure if you want to take questions first or the presentation.
But he's saying that they've done. Mr. Matebula, can you respond on what the administrator of this, secretary of this committee is saying? If you have any other presentation which you are not yet tabled, please table all your presentations that you forwarded to us.
We will do that, Honourable Chair. Thank you. Anita, can we move to the second presentation, please?
Lower your hands, Honourable Members. I've noted Honourable Mhlongo Malona, Honourable Malomani, Honourable Adams, Honourable Dennis, in that order. Carry on, presenter of the second presentation.
Thank you, Chair. Just to reiterate the role of the Sports Trust, we serve as an implementation partner to government, corporates and other donors, acting on their instruction to deliver sports infrastructure, equipment and kit, skills development programs and other benefiting schools, communities, federations and individuals as identified by our partners. We are now in the second phase of the presentation, which will focus on the distribution of funds to athletes and federations during lockdown, specifically COVID-19, the relief program and the PSP job retention program. In terms of the distribution of funds, we've done the COVID-19 relief program, and we have distributed funds in the first, second, and third waves to athletes, technical officials, and some artists as approved by the department's adjudication panel. leaders was relieved to sustain themselves during the negative impact on their financial well-being caused by the COVID-19 restrictions in terms of the COVID relief fund. And then in terms of BSB, it was really to focus on job retention of administrators and sports officials who were affected by the COVID-19 pandemic to apply for a subsidy of $3,400 for the retention of their jobs. The Sports Trust, in actual fact, managed a budget of $55,200,000 through the various sports stakeholders. And the outcomes was we retained, initially it was 5,090 jobs, but once we went through the program, some of the recipients, unfortunately, some had passed away and some had moved to some areas where we were not able to get hold of them to be able to disperse the funds to them. And the funds then returned to the program. In terms of the program owner, it was the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, and the Sports Trust was, as I said, the implementation partner. The department, as earlier narrated by the DG, communicated with its stakeholders, which was the federations, for athletes to apply for the funds, and they also vetted those athletes. The Sports Trust then received the instruction with which athletes to pay and the amounts to pay. We executed this within 48 hours and we then returned with proof of payments to the department, which in turn then communicated it to the athletes and the federations. We had then a total budget of $10,281,000. We paid from that 39 arts and culture beneficiaries. Those were the artists. We also paid an amount, we also paid 484 sports beneficiaries. We've listed the bank charges and just the detail in terms of the financial management of those funds. And as at the 18th of February, we were still left with a balance of $1.6 million for the department to give direction on. We've also just given you the stats on the athletes that benefited from the federations. When we say on the second line miscellaneous, it's really that we were not able to determine from the documentation on hand whether it was an athlete or whether it was a technical official or a coach. And so therefore we've just described it as miscellaneous, those five beneficiaries that received in the second wave, and also in the third wave there was 10 beneficiaries. But it gives you a breakdown of the codes that benefited and the amounts. We also, due to the information on hand, we couldn't verify all the stats on the provinces that benefited in the first and second wave, but we could provide it for the third wave, and also the demographics we were able to provide, as well as the ethnicity we also had to guesstimate because some was not very clear, and therefore the stats is presented in this format. Now we will go proceed to the Presidential Economic Stimulus Package, the PSP, Job Retention Program. As I said once before, the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture is the owner of the program, the Sports Trust is the implementation partner, and we worked very closely with SASCOC, the South African Sports Confederation Olympic Committee. We also worked with the other partners and to be able to make certain that we deliver effectively on this program. Our processes involved that we received applications. Firstly, we had a call out and then we received applications. And these applications went through a very thorough vetting process of internal compliance verifications, and which was ongoing, which we also liaised with the federations that applied to make certain that everything was above board and met the governance processes. We then, once the verification was done, we sent it through to the adjudication panel, which consisted of the department, SASCOC, and the Sports Trust, and they then confirmed the successful applicants, and thereafter there was a communication to the federations and also an agreement signed with the federation in terms of the beneficiaries that were approved, and then the financial processes started of the payment to those federations, who then in turn paid the beneficiaries, the athletes, or the, not the athletes, sorry, the administrators and the coaches where relevant. Our reporting processes was monthly reports to the department, and we also had standing meetings, and that went on from the 30th of November to the 31st of August, and we submitted our closeout report on the 30th of September 2021. Just some highlights of the people that received a payment. In some instances, we were not able to pay directly into people's bank accounts because some didn't have, because of the level of the employment. For instance, the golf caddies, most of them do not have bank accounts. And therefore, we had to come up with a system where we could still make certain that we, through the department, take assistance, be able to assist them. And we then paid them in cash, and we had to took pictures of them with their IDs to prove that it is the person that was approved on the schedule to receive those payments. So we looked at means of making certain that we were able to assist these people. Just some thank yous there. And then just in terms of the budget, the funding that we had and how we managed that. And as you will see, there was also a As you will see on the budget line items, there's bank charges, there's interest that goes back into the program. And also there was a refund from the golf fraternity. As I said, some of the caddies, some had passed away and some had moved back into the rural communities, and we were not able to get hold of them because some didn't have cell phones. So the funding was then returned to the program. In terms of the statistics, we've given a breakdown of how the provinces were catered for and the applications that we received, and also in terms of the demographics and the ethnicity. We had also supplied the otherwise, we'll just submit all the video links to the committee, to the committee secretary, and you could have a look at it later. That's our presentation, Honourable Chair.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ms. Demet.
Thank you.
Yes, my table.
Yeah, thank you, Honourable Chairperson. That's the second presentation. We can now take questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Matebula. Honourable members, this it must be taken off on the screen, the presentation. Presentation must be off. Honourable members, let me also thank the presentations of the DG, of the Sports Trust. Now I'm giving to Honourable Mustongo, followed by Honourable Lomana, Honourable Adams, Honourable Denise, Honourable Zondi. In that order, thank you, Honourable Members.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. We welcome the presentation. Can I switch on off my video?
Yes, Honourable Mshongo, thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I've noted Sports Trust, which they have an impact. There's a difference that they make in different communities. But I just
want to highlight things that I've observed, and I think they need improvement. And I'll just go firstly to the contradiction that we have on the presentation of the DG and the presentation of the Sports Trust. The allocation of 60 million mes per DG, but to them it's 48 million, and which is the difference, which is the 40%, the 8% of administration fee, if they're not including it. I think I need an explanation. How did it come? The DG's budget is 60 million. To them, the presentation says 48 million. And I think we need to get an understanding, a breakdown of payment made. And this obviously will make sure that we understand the breakdown. And I caution you, Chairperson, that it shows, as I've stated before, that the disbursement of these funds were questionable. How can you have athletes who are receiving funds in a cash? Others, they were not clear, Uguti, are these administrators or are these soccer players, as an example. Now, it shows that there was mismanagement of funds. Others did not have even verification. I think it's clear, they've stated here in this meeting that there are no verification done. Now, where have you seen someone taking a picture to say, is that accountability in centuries that we in that I have the cash, it shows that I don't have a bank account? You question that. I think it is clear mismanagement. And when I say mismanagement, nomkhonyo uba khona on that note. And I question that, especially with the money allocated to where it's supposed to go. I can never pitch and say I've received this money. And is that verifying? Can we clearly say we're doing our oversight work when we get a picture to say someone has received the money? And can I get an explanation? You're saying on the presentation you've created plus minus 5,000 jobs, but you've paid 3,500 a month. Can you quantify that and explain to me what does it mean in detail form? Your annual report, it's not clear on the 48 million which was used. You've stated clearly that 39 artists, 485 players, which is when you times this, you don't get the total amount, and you don't even minus the 4% that it's administrative fee. It doesn't make sense. Now, one of the things that I did, I've done even my homework. This is an NGO. Yes, it's an independent organization. It's an NPO. And your website is not stated clearly your mission with the dispensement of funds. It's not there. It's not your objective. You're not an administrator. You are not an agent to dispense funds. What do? You initiate projects. You get sponsors. It's an NGO. I think it shows that you do not have capabilities to manage these funds. It's clear on your website. Your website is not updated. Your website does not have trustees. Who are your trustees? Your presentation, your website is not clear. Who are they? I don't have that. I went to your website. You did not even update with the 2020-2021 financial. On your website, it's an old website, that things that you've done. And one thing that I wanted to find out, what relationship do you have with NGOs? Which NGO and the artistic that you worked with? Can I get the name of that NGO? And what relationships do you have with different provinces in government? And how much do you get from different provinces? Not this any fund from different provinces, especially in government. And what linkage do we have when you understand the COVID-19 funds and what the province has done in the target set for you based on the numbers that I've stated, the 39 and 485. Now, Chair, honestly enough, I'm not convinced that this money was prudently, accurately dispensed. I'm not clear because you see, it is clearly stated that there were no verification. Some people were not clear that are the administrators. Who are you paying? Others received cash. Shocking to hear that. I think there were a requirement for you to apply what you must have. They were clear. Unless there's a dispensation to say we were not aware as a committee that people received cash. Now, Chair, I'll get a second bite because I wanted an explanation. Ukuthi let them indicate a beneficiary as per the relief fund and the job retention and how much 350 has decided upon. Is it both artists and the athletes? Because in my understanding, the retention part, it's not clear. Thank you very much for first bite. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Can I switch off my video, please?
Yes, switch 16.
Thank you. Let me take this opportunity and welcome the presentation from Sports Trust and the overview from the department. My main question, it will be based on the focus area as it was presented by the overview of the department, where it is the focus area is to delivery of sports court, particularly to schools. The courts cater for multiple sports such as netball, tennis, basketball, volleyball, five-a-side, football, sports equipment. I want to mention every focus area. My question, it will be, does the Sports Trust have a relationship with the Department of Basic Education? If so, what projects are they currently doing in partnership with the Department of Basic Education? The second one, it will be, what are the sports infrastructure projects that the Sports Trust has delayed due to the pandemic? As we know that we had COVID-19 and everything came to a standstill in some time. If there is, what is the progress on the project to date? And how many facilities has the Sports Trust built in rural areas over the past 5 years? How does the Sports Trust ensure that the facilities that they have built are well maintained and are utilized? The other matter that I want to speak about is the issue of NetBank soccer development, where it says the Sports Affinity, in partnership with the Sports Trust, continues to support its soccer kids drive. It provides soccer kids and equipment to previously disadvantaged schools in South Africa, as identified by NetBank and its branches. I just want to speak about the constituency where I am. It's in deep rural area. I'm speaking about Leroro. I'm speaking about Tlabekisa. I'm speaking about the townships that are deep in rural, where they don't have even this kind of banks, where you speak about net banks. I just want to find out if maybe those kind of areas, are they catered in the net bank soccer development? How can they be assisted so that even their schools can get these kids, as you are aware, that they are also previously disadvantaged? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malomani. Honorable Adams. Honorable Adams, we don't hear you. We can't hear you, Honorable Adams.
I'm going to switch off my video. Thank you.
But still, we don't hear you.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. My greetings goes to the Deputy Minister Mafu, Mr. Mkhize, led the department team. Can you hear me now, Chair? Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, in a way.
Chairperson, can you hear me?
Yes, Honorable Adams.
What is the problem this morning? Chairperson, can you hear me now?
Yes, in a way. Yes, Honorable Adams.
Chairperson, can you hear me? Okay, Chairperson.
Yes.
Okay, let me start with my questions, Chairperson.
Okay, the sport trust must be commended for taking on the emergency responsibility of distributing the COVID-19 relief funds as well as the PSP. What were the challenges faced during the distribution of the COVID-19 funds? What were the challenges faced during the distribution of the PSP funds? Chairperson, I also noted in the presentation from some provinces was complaints regarding delaying of payments in the COVID-19 relief funds. What was the possible cause of the delays in payments? Chairperson, the trust, sport trust indicated that each beneficiary received 3,500 in the PSP relief as part of the job retention. How was the amount of 3,500 decided upon? How did the 3,500 once-off payment retain jobs within the sports sector? And for which jobs were the funds for? And were the funds, the jobs retained? My last question, Chairperson, were there any instances of overpayments to beneficiaries of monies being paid to underserving beneficiaries? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Adams.
And then, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Adams. Honorable Denise.
And then, Chair.
Yes, yes, we hear you, Honorable Denise.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning. To the ministry and all members and to our visitors from the Sport Trust. Chairman, I have a presentation. I would like just to make a comment. It is clear that the vision of the late President Mandela and the sports minister has set that base for bringing the trust to where it is now. And it seems to me a trust in some cases is good to protect money, Chairperson. But in some cases, we've heard in this country that the trust is there sometimes to hide money and control money, you know, for particular agendas. So, you know, it can go both ways. But in this case, I think the trust, there was a good vision from the leadership at the time that has brought us thus far. I want to appreciate the donors privately and the sports fraternity and the department chair for keeping this trust going up to now. I want to just make a comment on the video by Anita. The video actually have a lot of provinces and a very wide span in the country of where the project is happening. But when Anita spoke, she made a lot of reference to the projects in the Western Cape. So I just make the point that you know, I haven't seen the balance in her presentation when she spoke, but on the video I saw that balance on a national level. Chairperson, I want to also support my member when he asked the question to the chairperson of the trust about the other trustees. Who are they and how often do they meet, for example? What is their role besides the administration in the trust? I would like to know, Chairperson, if all provinces are covered with the Disability Sports Coast. I'm glad to note that out of the 105 courts, there are also disability people are included, but I would like to know if all provinces have contributed or the trust have made sure that all organizations that apply in all provinces include disability as well. Chairperson, then I'm covered by the financial questions. I just wanted to ask, also similar to the previous member's question of the previous member about a 20-year lifespan, how do the trust monitor or assess that investment into the sports infrastructure lasts for 20 years or more? You know, what sort of criteria do they use? Do they go back? Is there audit being done on that investment, on that sport facilities that have really last that long? That is the questions I have for now. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Member Dennis. Honourable Member Veronica.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you also for the presentation. Our signal is put aside, so I'm also going to put off the video.
Yes, please.
My questions are as follows. I want to understand, how does the Sport Trust prioritize its projects? We have Abigail April from a rural area. She's from a farm in the Swartland. She's an under 18 national cross country champion, but she cannot register because she does not have the 300 rand that is needed for them for that. And even if she can manage to register, her parents are not able to pay the transport. As far as I understand, this trust does not pay for travel and accommodation. But in this case, will a person like or a talented athlete like herself be perhaps considered in terms of the Sport Trust discretionary fund? I just want to have clarity on that. The Sport Trust, can you just explain to us how you mostly market yourself? Is it via community newspapers, word by mouth that I saw on one of your presentations on the website? And can we receive maybe a list of these advertisements per province so that we can also have an idea how does people in the provinces know about you and how do they know how they can approach you? I want to know whether you receive any funding from lottery and if you can give us detail on that. With regard to the sport and recreation in South Africa, how much is spent annually towards transformation? And in the same question, basically, does the Sport Trust have a relationship with the Department of Basic Education? And if so, what projects are they currently doing in partnership with the department, specifically also with referral to this transformation? Because I believe that transformation starts on at grassroots level and specifically in schools. Then I also want to ask, with the question Honourable Malumani asked with regards to the facilities both in rural areas, I also want to know if we can get maybe a list of the projects that have been approved and if anything was approved for the Northern Cape. I'm not sure, I cannot remember if the question was asked, but I want to know why were the 39 arts and culture beneficiaries paid by the Sports Trust instead of the entities provided with the responsibilities of distributing the funds to the arts sector? And my last question is, did the Sport Trust distribute any funds to struggling national federations? And if so, how much did each of these federations receive? If not, were the struggling national federation supported by the department? If we can just get clarity on that. I also actually have another question that the DG can maybe just fill in. I hope it's also with regards to schools sport. The National School Sport Championship that was scheduled for the 18th and to the 21st of March, it was cancelled on a very short notice because of the letter by yourself to the DG that went out on the 15th. That was because of an advisory note issued by the National Treasury and no financial support was available for this event. I want to know how this notice from the AG will affect other sport events and specific in the near future. If we can have a clarity on what events will be affected. Because it's really a concern that we want to see transformation happen, but that there is no financial support from the department. If we can just get clarity on that issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Veronica. Honourable Zondi.
Thanks, sir. We welcome the report, the presentation, all presentations. Especially the clarifications by the Director General Chair. I think I was covered by his overview on a number of questions that I had.
I had three questions, and Honorable Maromane asked for me all of them. The facilities in the rural areas per province, the infrastructure projects that were delayed, that were put on hold by COVID, and the relationship with the school, with the Department of Basic Education as we are revising the schools. I think those were my questions, Chair. But one question, Chair, I want to, this one, I don't know whether I can ask this question to you, Chair, because I can't ask the department, because the department, they come to the portfolio committee as invitees and also the entities. I've noted that the trust chair, there were no direct contact between the trust and the portfolio committee for the last 5 years. I just want to know from you, why was that? Is it because there were no issues, as I've noticed now that there are no issues? Chair, I mean, I don't smell a rat on the administration. I don't see imali ehliswe mdenze. The budget here is not a big budget. But I think the overview that DG Nkave Etienne, he said all the processes on PEPS were done by the department, and they only communicated to them on the directives on the implementation part, not the processes. So I was covered on a number of past funding and processes. But other than that, Chair, I think I'm covered by the honourable members that have asked questions there.
Thank you, Honourable Sondi. Honourable Sibisi.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and greetings to all the members of the portfolio, the department, and also our visitors. Well, let me join my colleagues in welcoming the presentation from the Sports Trust. And we've been made aware that the Sports Trust has been there since 1994. But now, when I check how are they being spread throughout the country, it leaves some concerns, because there are a lot of people who are not aware of the presence of the Sports Trust. So I wish to check whether is the visibility of Sports Trust in all provinces, is it visible? If it is visible, I'm coming from the rural districts, and I wish to put it to the Sports Trust that maybe in the province of where I'm coming from, and also in my districts, there is no sign of EEE Sports Trust. And my last question would be, I've seen that they are also able to support some other sports code. Chair, this is my concern when it comes to EEE netball. EEE netball will ask a participation fee when the athletes are going to provincial and national championships, which I'm not against it, understanding that they are lacking EEE funding. So now I'm checking, can the Sports Trust come in, or can the Sports Trust assist those athletes who are not affording, especially those athletes who are coming from the disadvantaged households, those who are staying with the grandmoms and grandfathers? I mean, they can't take from their grant that make them to survive, and also just give their children to go and participate. How can the Sport Trust assist those who are not able to pay for the participation fee, but where their performance is good? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Sibisi. Let me also take this opportunity to thank the department led by Deputy Minister, and thank you the overview by the DG. And also I must thank the Sports Trust team which is with us. The only thing that I'm not going to say anything, and I want that members, they must not blame me when the people are responding according to your questions. I'm not asking anyone to ask which question and how. You must note, honorable members, that your questions which we are asking, if they are answered the way that you ask them, don't come to me saying that I must do ABC. I've noted and listened to other questions that maybe if it was myself, I was going to, how I'm going to answer. Let me also share the some questions of honorable members. I'm not sharing them all because everyone has got a right to ask the question the way he or she feels and how she analyzes the presentations. I do feel that there is a way which maybe we can do as this committee. Whenever we're taking what you call oversight in each province, would love that we must go and see your work in whatever province that you are going to forward. Some you have forwarded already that you have done the work. But I do have a feeling of that sometimes I feel that the way you are operating to us, we don't know if we can ask that how NetBanks and others identify the areas. Is it through those communities, all communities, for instance, some of us, mostly in this committee, are coming from rural areas. I'm not sure whether Mteko and Epolile Matatiela and Elugada and Matatiela, they can have this opportunity to know in order that they must ask NetBank. But today, I'm happy that irrespective of that, you have capacitated us and armed us that even our good friends, we must be voice of voiceless, those who are not aware of some of your good work that we are doing, hoping that as honorable members, whilst we are not, this is not the first time that we have called honorable members Sports Trust, as you have heard some members, they were saying that they've been saying that Sports Trust doesn't have capabilities. Sports Trust don't do ABC. So in order that we must do our oversight to you, we'll take care of those vulnerable people, those vulnerable areas, clubs, maybe even for schools, like the problems of a netball being so far assisted by the department. If now we're having the 2023 netball who is coming in South Africa, I'm suspecting that we have got a right to look in each and every area where national, where we are thinking that they do need courts for netball, but we are aware it will depend on how much do you have. But would love to check, and if you can give us the information of how do you market yourself in order that we must, our request must be confined on the way that you are doing what you are doing. which in some areas, when you are listening and you are, we've read your presentation, you do have impact in some areas. We can just say that we have Department of Arts, we have Department of Education. I'm suspecting that we are complementing those fears of governance, let alone that municipality and provinces are supposed to play the role. So we are not forgetting that we are complementing those other stakeholders. Thank you so much. Can I take now back to you, the leader of the delegation of our visitors, to answer our questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you very much for the questions. I think how we're going to respond to your questions, let's ask the Sports Trust to respond to the questions that are directed to them, that they can see that they are for them. And then the department, through the DG, will come in and respond to the questions that the department should respond to, knowing that the Sports Trust is the implementing partner for the department. And then I'll come in after the DG. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister Nonzaba. Sports Trust.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm going to respond to some of the questions, and after that, I'll ask both all my colleagues actually to answer some of the questions, because some of the questions are related to partnerships, projects, and the general workings of the trust. So let me just respond to the questions that myself as the chairperson I can help to answer. The first question is on issue from Honorable Msongo on issues of management. I can assure you, Honorable Msongo, that as I've mentioned, since the establishment of the trust, we had the 10 audit trails, and the auditors have always been independent. So I can assure you that we run the trust as a professional organization, and the reason why you see even listed companies are trustees of the trust is actually showing that they believe that we run quite a tight ship, because obviously if there are scandals in the trust, it will affect their market capitalization. So in terms of administration fee, I just want to mention there in principle, so that everyone can sort of be comfortable on this issue, is that the legal framework in terms of socioeconomic development in the country, and I think it's much clearly indicated in the Triple BEE codes, is that if you basically run an NPC or NGO, the administration fee should not be more than 15%. And actually, ours is much lower than that. The reason for that is that, of course, we've got full-time employees in the trust. And then in terms of the Honorable Malumane, in the issues related to Nedbank, I just want to put a principle there so that all the members understand. So how the sports trust works is that the trustees and the other funding partners, I'm sure you saw in the presentation was the reference to Fushini Group, they identify which areas the trust should actually implement those programs. So they come to us, they say, listen, we've got R1 million, for instance, and we want you to go and put a sports trust in this area or to do a program in this area. So that's how the trust work, currently, and that's why how we've been working. And of course, there is a bigger need in the country, but we always have limited resources. you know, as a principle. In terms of maintenance, Honorable Malumane, we always go back to the project that we've implemented in the past. For instance, in the video, some of what you've seen there is projects that we implemented right in the beginning to make sure that those the infrastructure that has been installed is being used and is kept in a good condition. We also sign service level agreements with the beneficiaries to make sure that they maintain those facilities. The trust is a very small organization, so it's actually impossible for the officials or employees of the trust to go on a weekly basis and check on the facilities that have been implemented. And then I just want to check. Okay. In terms of the spread of the project, again, Honorable Davis, it's also based on what I've just indicated previously on the funding partners and trustees to indicate where we should implement the programs. And then this will be the same answer, Honorable Berenbrika, in terms of prioritization of the project. We basically, would like to implement the project all over the various areas, rural areas, and provinces in the country. But we're limited by the resources that we've got, and secondly, by the directions that we get from the funding partners. In terms of the question, Honorable Veronica, in terms of marketing, the most marketing that we do, we market to the corporates, the provinces and district municipalities and local municipalities. The reason for that is we actually wanted to get more funding. So the more funding we've got, the more impact and programs we can implement. So that's how we actually do our marketing. And in terms of the case, Honorable Veronica, that you've mentioned, yes, you can advise the person that you've mentioned to apply to us. And then we do have a very small discretionary funding that we can use, for those cases. But you must understand that we're actually taking from the administration fee of the trust. Just to give you an example, we had to go for 2 years without giving the employees of the trust increase. I'm happy that Anita and her team agreed to go that long without an increase, and we didn't have any turnover. So we take some of the money that we've got to receive from the investment that you've seen when, Mr. Stain presented the financials, and then we can use part of that for cases as you've indicated. In terms of relationship, Honorable Veronica, relationship with the Department of Basic Education, you've seen our slogan says enhancing education through sport. I think the department can expand more on this one. I understand there's a service level agreement with the Department of Basic Education. And I can mention that most of the sports courts actually are installed in schools all over the country. And the Department of Basic Education is very much involved in that process. And that links to your question on transformation, because almost all the infrastructure and support and activities of the courts are actually at disadvantaged areas all over the country. Throughout my time, having been involved in the sports trust, I remember, the very first court, if I recall well, it was myself and former Minister Stofile. We went all the way to Okip, Honorable Veronica. If you go to Okip, there's an old sports court there. If I remember well, that was our very first sports court that we've actually installed in the country. So your question on the Northern Cape, yes, Northern Cape is is also one of the provinces that we focus on. And then I think, thank you, Honorable Zondi, in terms of, commending us on the administration. That's something that we pride ourselves on as well, from the trust point of view. And then the trust, Honorable Sibisi, I can assure you that the trust is present in all provinces. And while I'm on this area, because I've seen a lot of the members, Chairperson, referring to their constituencies that they don't see the activities of the trust, we use every opportunity, and I'm going to use this opportunity to ask the members that, there's a reference here of Nedbank, but if you see Standard Bank, FNB, as a member, you can approach FNB that we work with the trust. Can you sponsor them to do a court in that area? Because the banks are all over the country. You see Capitec, and then if you contact us, we'll tell them how to do that. To pick and pay any corporate that is present in your constituency, we can work with. So we can't reach everywhere, but you can be, our spokesperson in that area. Don't wait for Nedbank to come and identify a project in your area. Look at the court facilities, not actually a lot of money for a company like Pick and Pay or Checkers or Capitec Bank or Standard Bank and all of that. And then, so we would be happy if we can work with the members to involve businesses and corporates in their areas to expand this, because we really need impact in all parts of the country. And then the last thing, Honorable Chair, in terms of the trustees, it was mentioned that the trustees were not shown in the website, but if you look at the presentation that was made today on the annual report, you see on page 20, it referred to the Board of Trustees and Partners. The Board of Trustees are, as has been indicated on that slide, first of all, is the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture as a trustee with one representation, and the Department of, and the Nedbank as a company, Sun International, Super Sport, SAB has changed its focus from sports, so they are no longer a trustee. Harmony Gold Mine is still a trustee. And then we've got Cricket South Africa. And then now we're going to have SASCOC as well. And then, Honorable Chair, we've got two nominated trustees, including myself as an independent trustee. So I'm not aligned to any of the trustees. So there's a degree of independence there. Those are our trustees. But lastly, I just want to emphasize that please be our spokesperson in all your constituencies. I actually do a lot of the work of the trustees personally as a sort of contribution to society. I actually use most of the time my own funding of my activities with the trust. I can promise you I'll drive wherever you are in your position. Whoever is the corporate, Nedbank or SPA or whoever, to try and make sure that we do have sports infrastructure in your local constituency. So I can give that undertaking personally, using my own funding to actually do that. If we can all give a small hand, Honorable Chairperson, we're investing in the future of the country and in the future of our youth and children as well. Anita, can you touch on the other questions, please?
Yes, Chair, thank you very much. Just in terms of Honourable Member Mshlunga's questions about the contradiction in the Sports Trust financial reporting on the funds that we received from DSAC specifically to cover to PSP, that we've actually just reported on the actual program money that we've spent. You're correct in stating that we've taken the admin fee out and then just reported on the actual funds that were spent on the program for the beneficiaries. In terms of the processes of how these beneficiaries were selected, was through SASCOC, we had sent a call out to all the federations and through the NGOs listed on the department's database that works in sport. We have sent the call out to them, and from the responses, we then worked together with the department and the panel, selected the successful beneficiaries. I must also point out to you that we spent countless days on the telephones encouraging our federations and NGOs to respond to the call out, and just based on what we've received, we proceeded on what we received. In terms of the payments in cash, as you will note that the caddies, the golf caddies in the country are also seen as the most vulnerable because they mostly get their income from, cash income from the players at the golf courses that come on a specific day. And we felt that there was a need to retain these jobs because they were the most vulnerable. And we explored all the avenues to see how we could accommodate them. And it was on this basis that we proceeded that they would, through the clubs, because remember we worked through Golf South Africa, we then worked through their clubs. And these people are members of the clubs. So the clubs also take accountability in making certain that the right people are paid. And therefore, for accountability and transparency, we said that when there isn't a bank account, they would need to sign a form to say that they have received the funds and also show us the identity card next to their face so that we can then match them with the identity number and then tick the boxes that they have received the funding, so the funding has gone to the correct person. I've also mentioned that in some cases where we had beneficiaries on the schedule that had passed on or that had moved and we could not get hold of them anymore, the funds returned back to the project, and in that way we could ensure that more people benefited from the program. In terms of our annual report, the PSP program was not reported on in detail because the program has not completed at that stage. So our next report, our annual report for 2021-2022, because our closeout report was submitted in September, will now contain more detail on these on the PSP program. And so therefore we will report more clearly on that in the next report. In terms of our website, you're saying that it's not clear that we can disperse funds. However, as a trust, our mandate is very broad, and therefore we can assist as an implementation partner to our trustees and other funders where there is critical areas that needs to be executed to our people. We can then take that decision to assist in that regard and make certain that whatever sport needs there are, that is attended to within the country. In terms of our relationship with provinces, through the department, we do have relationships with the provinces. We've worked with them in the past, and we've had very positive relationships with the Gauteng Department of Sports and as well as the Northern Cape Department of Sports. We are still engaging with the other departments, but once again, it's up to the departments whether they want to utilize the services of the Sports Trust to assist them in bringing about change, transformational change in their communities and in their schools in their provinces. In terms of Honorable Malumani, in terms of delays with infrastructure completion, fortunately enough, during COVID, once the president had opened that all the sectors that deals with infrastructure development could go back and complete those projects, the Sports Trust, through the department, received special permission to complete our projects, and we were able to complete all our projects within the timelines that we needed to. Albeit there might have been one or two delays in terms of accessing materials, but we tried our best and we were able to meet our deadlines to our partners. In terms of the number of facilities in rural areas, I cannot give you a correct account right now. However, I will ask my team to submit that detail to the secretary that can then distribute it to all the members. In terms of the funds from the NLC, as you know, structures have to apply to the NLC for funding. In the past, the sports trust was the conduit for the department, and we accessed funds for the school games as well as the sports awards. And in that regard, we were not able to apply for our own programs because already we were receiving quite a bulk of funding from the NLC. In the last financial year, we were approached by SASCOC, the NLC, and the beneficiary Special Olympics, where funding was given to the Special Olympics. However, they could not execute and ask the Sports Trust to be the implementation partner to assist in effectively managing the program of the SA Hopeful Medal Campaign, which means a selected number of athletes that was identified through SASCOC that received funding to support them in their preparation for the Olympics and Paralympics. So we have received money in the past year from the National Lotteries Commission, but through another structure, we didn't receive it directly. Okay. In terms to National Federation, we have not done that, and I would rather that we redirect that question to the department for them to then respond to that question. Our relationship with the Basic Education Department, our chair has already responded to that, as well as all the other items, questions that was asked in terms of prioritizing areas where we deliver programs to. I also just want to reiterate that the trust is positioned as an implementation partner. Therefore, if the committee gave us the money and said, Anita, we would like you to go to a rural, deep rural area, then that is what we would do, and you would identify the rural area. We would then go and find the beneficiary within that community that is best placed to receive the infrastructure. And the criteria that we use is obviously we look at the leadership of the schools where we place our infrastructure as well, in terms of to ensure that there's an active and vibrant sports community because of that leadership, and that also that the facilities will be maintained and shared with the extended community. We have limited resources, so we encourage all the time that the infrastructure that we place at the school is just seen as the host. Yes, they have use of it, but they need to share it with the surrounding 5 or 7 schools, as well as the community club structures and so forth. So we do sign a service level agreement with them on that. And also we are in constant communication with them in terms of what the facility, the status of the facility is at certain time frames. We ask them to send us pictures and so forth. And when we're in the area, we try our best to go and also visit these facilities and also see whether it's possible for us to do some minor repairs on facilities where there has been vandalism and so forth at our expense. I'm not sure if I've answered everybody's questions. If you could just indicate to us whether we have.
Thank you, Anita. Through your chair, can I ask the DG and the department to come in?
Thank you. Today, yes.
Thank you very much, DM. Can I ask the DG, Simpiwe? Let's start with your input. If there's any comments, then it's the DG.
Thank you. Thank you very much, DG, Good afternoon. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Greetings to the Chairperson of the Sports Trust and the leadership of the Sports Trust, to DG and to my colleagues. Thanks a lot, DG. DG, I just want to quickly indicate that we have here Mr. Nube, who dealt with the relief funds, and we have Mr. Jemahai, who dealt with the PESP, and they will answer details about the funds, etc. But just to indicate, DG, if we're looking at the relief funds, we as a department put out the call for the relief funds ourselves. We had very set criteria for it, and we asked them, the sports trust, to actually come on board and pay the beneficiaries. Now, DG, if you recall, this was an unprecedented initiative. At the time when COVID came and when the sector came to us to say they were losing their income because sports activities were postponed, they were cancelled. And the same was happening with the arts and culture. So it was quite unprecedented. There was an urgency for us to pay our athletes. We looked at our own system of government to say, by the time we register everybody on the treasury safety net and pay them, it would take a long time. So for us, the safest and the quickest route would have been through our implementing agency, the Sports Trust. And I think the turnaround time was very, very quick. DG, we also had everybody being paid, and the systems that the Sports Trust has indicated in their presentation worked, because we had an adjudication committee in place that actually adjudicated and made the decision of approving those that would benefit. We then submitted a list to the Sports Trust. Before that, we had a team that would also check all the bank balances, call each of those applicants who were successful. We also sent out letters to those who were not successful, and we gave them an opportunity to actually dispute or to appeal. And we had an appeals committee in place as well, and a lot of those appeals were then successful as well. So all of that we did ourselves, DG, through with the Sports Trust and with our own committees in our own office, making sure that they quality assured everything. The only issue, I think, and the Sports Trust was asked a question about double payment, etc. There were some instances where funds were paid twice, but the Sports Trust realized that it was a system error, and they then actually took responsibility for that. And there was a time where even funds were returned where there was double payment. I think that was done. With regard to the PESP, DG, remember that it came from the president, from the presidency. The presidency was very clear that our government systems, again, would delay payment. So we must use the agencies themselves. And hence, for us, we used for the job retention part of our the funds that we received. It was the Sports Trust that disbursed the funding. In terms of the job creation work stream, we used the SASCOC. Now, DG, the presidency even indicated that there should be a management fee that is paid to the agencies that will be disbursing and will be managing this project. And hence, the management fee was paid, a portion of it. In fact, they actually capped it at 10%. But the Sports Trust indicated that they would like most of the benefits and the funding to go to the beneficiaries. So at least, and then they actually capped their admin fee at 8%. So that was a directive that came from the project itself, TG. And then with regards to the multipurpose sports court, and I think the general manager had indicated will give a list. But over the years, there's about 117 facilities that have been built throughout the province, throughout the country, Chairperson. So we will provide that list as well. It must be noted, Chairperson, that for us, it's an intervention, because the fact is, we all know that there are challenges with school sport and infrastructure. The schools don't have it, and the Department of Basic Education will tell you that in terms of their own norms and standards, they look at just a basic football field and maybe a netball court. So this multi-purpose sports courts gives an opportunity to for more courts, five different courts, to be played on one surface. I think the general manager has indicated also how it is managed, that there are service level agreements signed with the schools so that the communities also have access to those facilities. And also the fact that there is a management plan, a scheduling plan, where the schools then have different codes of sport on different days and the communities then have access after hours. There are issues, I think, with maintenance, et cetera, where the schools actually say, you know, because of the fact that it is one of those hard-wearing courts that have a long lifespan of 30 years, the schools then try and raise funds as well, so that they can then give access to the communities as well to use the facility. The challenges faced with COVID, with the COVID funding and the PESP, Chairperson, I think from a sports perspective, we have not had too many challenges with the COVID, the relief funds that we provided, except that, you know, I know that at times there were issues that were raised by the Auditor General, but I think we've actually closed on that, because at the time when we put out the relief funding, after we had put out the relief, there were other sources of funding that had come through, for example, through the solidarity funding, through the UIF, etc. So there was this risk of double dipping by the recipients, because they were not aware where the funding would actually come, whether they would benefit from the relief funding. So they applied to us for relief funding. They may have applied to the UIF, they may have applied to SASA, etc. But I think from our own systems and even through the audit chairperson, we have managed to indicate that much of the funding that we gave to the beneficiaries was before any of the other funding that they had applied for. The issue of the amount, the 3,500, I think that also that funding was actually prescribed to us that we would get 3,000 up to 3,500 per beneficiary. So it was a uniform funding. In the case of sport, Chairperson, with the golf caddies, Golf RSA came to us to say, for example, that they had an application of, say, I can't remember the actual figures, but theoretically speaking, if they had 2,000 people that applied, but we only had funds for 1,500. So Golf SRSA said they would like all of the beneficiaries to get money. They didn't want some of them to get and others not to get anything at all. And they then took a decision that they would pay everybody, I think it was about 2,700, so that more of the caddies who were the most vulnerable could benefit from that. So that was the formula for golf and the caddies in particular. I'm just trying to see what else we needed to respond to, but my colleagues are here, DG Chairperson and DG, and they would then also indicate any areas that I may have missed out. Thank you, DG, and thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure if there is any gap that you want to come to me, Simpio. If not, then I will proceed. Simpio?
Good morning.
Just a moment, Simpio. I've seen the hand. Whilst you are still responding, I don't know what does that mean.
No, Chair, I thought that then it's a follow-up and I'll lower it. I wanted to do a follow-up. I thought that then.
Okay. The hand must be lowered. They are not yet. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chairperson, and the members of the
portfolio committee, the DG, DDG, the chairperson of the trust, and the management of the trust. Chairperson, I'm just going to touch on the issue of the breakdown in terms of demographics, particularly for the relief fund. Just to indicate that when we worked on the first phase of the relief, at that time we did not ask for demographic information, particularly in terms of race. But in the subsequent phases, we then included that information in our application forms, which enabled us to then indicate how many RKs came from which code, how many applications came from which code, and how many applications came from which province, and also by a breakdown by race as well. That is a correction that we then had to make when we were dealing with second and third phase of relief. However, for the first phase, we actually had not requested for this information. Hence, it may appear as missing. In most cases, we had to try and work out as to what race the person is, although this method obviously was not accurate, particularly for the first phase. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Yeah.
Just to indicate that Chairperson, the question by Honorable Mfongo relating to the role or the capability, if I may put it that way, not so much in the words they use, on whether they are able to disperse funds based on what the websites say about their duty. The department had to look at what institutional mechanisms are in place that are capable of dispersing funds and accounting for the funds. And the sports trust was then identified on those bases, noting that they have rigorous financial systems that they are going to utilize to help us get the money to the athletes as a matter of agency. And now the information that they provided was both a chairperson, is information that is verifiable, and these are the people who are alive with their ideas, and through the well-established golf of SA, we were able to then know that the money is paid to the people that have worked in this area. Chairperson, it would have been irresponsible of the department to deny the credits of such a livelihood relief when they are verifiable as people who have been there, and then for us to then suddenly say to Golf SA, yes, these are the people who cannot get anything. I think if there is need to try and have a random testing of the people where they got the money, because we do publish the names and we put all the details, then I think the committee can be able to embark on that exercise if we provide the details of such people for them to verify whether the money was received by the intended beneficiaries. So I just want to indicate that at this stage, there was no way in which we would have just dispersed money without making sure that it reaches the intended people. So there was verification at multiple levels, including the federation, as well as then that after the payments, there must be records that can be utilized to rely on that.
Now, there was a question relating to how best can I think the breakdown of best support the committee to do its oversight about where are these constructed. I think we should commit with Sports Trust that this information, once it's available, we then provide to the committee so that the committee can do the necessary oversight. In relation to the appeal, I think Honorable Zonde and our citizen are clear on this thing of Omalomani about reaching the most disadvantaged. It is something we maybe have to work with Sports Trust just to see how within the budget available these areas continue to be prioritized in the schedule of rollout. Even when we engage with the other private sector, we're able to reach the rural as well as more of rural and also the ones of the township. Because this has been their approach all along. Might be just a question of aggression and acceleration to get these facilities to such communities. The issue of classification of coaches, athletes, etc. From their side, as Simpiwe has indicated, might have been a challenge, but from the side of the department, before the payments on the relief were being made, that adjudication would go through each and every application to be sure that, of course, the people who applied are within the sporting fraternity, having a particular specific role in play before such request of a payment could be made. And then we do have the detail of each and every applicant who was paid. And then there is no, we would like to allay the concerns that the people who were paid might not be people who were deserving to be paid or some post athletes, because there were applications. And whether then you are indeed in the sporting fraternity or not. So, Chairperson, those are the things I thought I can just assist in clarifying after my colleagues. I thank you, Chairperson, and the honourable members at the end.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair. I hope this network will not disappoint me. It's been cutting off. Just, Chair, to appreciate the discussion that has taken place here, and I hope
there's no way you have Honorable Mkhongo DM still on the floor. Thank you, DM. I'm sorry, DM.
Okay. And I just hope that it has the discussion has also clarified some of the misconceptions around the role of the Sports Trust vis-a-vis the department. But just to stress one thing, that the Sports Trust is the implementation partner for the department, including the other partners that you might have seen. So it is not an entity of the department, but it is an implementation partner for the department. And I thought it's important to clarify that. Secondly, when it came to the relief fund, whatever it has implemented, it has done through the agreement with the partner, which is the department and the federations. And whatever discrepancy, therefore, that might have occurred, I think the members must direct those questions to the department, because it is the department that was the main implementation for the relief fund. And it has asked the Sports Trust to do it on their behalf. And I think it's important to clarify that, so that when then again the final report of the relief fund comes back to this portfolio committee, you note the questions that you might have seen as a discrepancy in this report and ask from the department, not necessarily from the Sports Trust, because they were implementing what they have been asked to do by the department. And I want to underscore what they have raised, that, and the members have raised, that all the facilities that they have built over the years. Can they submit them to the department? And then the department can submit it to the portfolio committee. So the portfolio committee members have a sense of where these facilities are, so that in their own constituencies, they can go and see physically if those facilities are there, so that we can then have a discussion. Remember, the Sports Trust is not taking away the work that the municipalities, the provinces are supposed to be doing in terms of these facilities, but they come in as a stopgap. If, for instance, the minister wants a facility to be built in Mpumalanga, for instance, where Honorable Malomane comes from, where we built a facility in her school. So those are the things, but it doesn't mean that the MEEC and the provinces still do their jobs. So we need to have that understanding. And therefore, at all times, when we then question and critique the Sports Trust, we must remember not to shoot the messenger, because most of the things, it's not them, it's the department. The department still must take the overall responsibility, because they are the ones that have asked the Sports Trust to implement certain projects, like the relief fund, like some of the projects. And I wanted just to underscore that and actually say, despite the difficulties that they have, they have done a good job, but more could be done. And we need to also understand that it's not them that identify where a facility must be built. They are asked to go and build a facility in that particular area. So if there is a skewed where they go, it's not them. Them, they go because a partner has asked them to go and build there. So I'm quite happy with the fact that members understood that, and they are saying NetBank and others, are they going to the rural areas? Because remember, it's not Sports Trust who would then decide that they go more to Western Cape or more to Gauteng, but it's the partner that would say, we want a facility to be built in Soweto, in Pretoria, and then they go, not them identifying. So those are the areas that I thought is important. But I also want to, despite all that, to underscore the fact that they are an important partner. And also, whilst questions are being raised, particularly around the relief fund, they are not the ones that had put the systems in place. They were asked to assist the department to implement that relief fund. Important question that needs to be answered, but the department must be the ones that answer those questions. When the time has come that they must come and give the final report of this relief fund, it must be the department. The Sports Trust, Nibaleka, sometimes Nengena, you call, like, oh, do I care? Maybe Vumilung, Nibale, Nibazla. So I've never about Vuma, Mamaleko, Nengena. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister. Now, after Honorable Chair.
The question about the payment of artists, can we just zoom in on that one, and then we will close. Sorry that I realized we missed the response to that question. Okay. If we can answer that, and
thank you.
Our
apologies. Our apology, DM. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, the artists, at the time when we were paying the athletes through the Sports Trust, we also paid artists through the Sports Trust, noting that we had just merged as the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. So we needed to urgently pay the artists, so we paid them through the Sports Trust. And then we were advised later that it should not be paid through the sports, that the artists should not be paid through the Sports Trust, because the Sports Trust deals with only the sports matters, and we should use other entities of the arts to pay the artists. And hence, then we stopped after that. Chairperson, so we had to actually fast track payment, and hence we used the Sports Trust. And therefore, you will see that there's a smaller number of artists who were paid through the Sports Trust. And when we were advised not to, so we changed then to the other entities dealing with the arts to pay the artists, Madam Chair. So that was the reason why you see the Sports Trust having to pay a small number of artists. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much, DDG. Now I'm taking the follow-up questions. I was already having the hand of Honorable Mhlongo. Any other follow-up question? Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure the Sports Trust is not doing anything. I think I've acknowledged what they're doing. But one thing that I wanted to see the gap, and I think the DM, we put it here, which they were playing, but they're not responsible. But when you are a player inside, then when you get a red card, you are out. Because there was a red card for you. But nonetheless, Chair, I wanted to follow up the questions which were not answered. And firstly, Chair, I wanted to find out who did it, Dr. Khumalo. She's been absent, and it's my concern. Maybe can I be told, is she on leave? I think it's an honest question there. She's been quiet. If she's here, I apologize, but she's been quiet. I want to know what is the status like. Thank you very much. Chair, I think to the minister, deputy minister, I think if the president is aware that in South Africa to date, we have several people who are vulnerable, we have pensioners, but they are receiving money according to the state charts that were agreed upon. They don't receive cash. Now, the question is, nowadays, how can we account on cash and picture? How can you account on that? Yes, there are players. I'm not blaming them, but I think we need to, honestly enough, think twice. You can account on a picture with money or a picture to say this person has received money. I think it's uncalled for, and I wonder what is the view of the AG when it comes to cash paid for this relief funding. I question that, and what was the reason to do so? Another issue, I think they've tried to answer the question, artists. How many artists receive funding from the Sports Trust? How many are they can have their names, and how much was it? I think it's clear, Ubuti, when I say maybe chairperson of the SP, the Sports Trust. You know, when I say umkhonyovu uyavela, I mean, when you manage funding, when there's funding, there must be accountability. And when there's no accountability or you see a gap, I think your presentation was clearly stating that somewhere you did not know Trapo was the sportman or an artist or an administrator. You did not. It's clear, Guti, I have eyebrows to raise when verification is not clear and you pay that individual sum of money. And the question here, double dipping, to DG and them, double dipping, did we get any money from double dipping? How much was it if we've received? If not, when are we going to receive it, or what status of the report are we going to get for double dipping? And I wanted, it's a proposal, Deputy Minister, I think it's high time if issues like this comes, we use our own department. 4 million plus, and not only this entity, okay, not entity, not an entity, this NGO, not only this NGO, the 4 million plus, we can utilize it for our artists and sportsmen. We have permanent staff in the department. Why don't we utilize permanent staff to do administrative work? I think in future, that is my proposal, unless you say, no, we want to give it to NGO, and then you question that we have people who are permanently employed, why don't you use that? That 8% is too much. It can be utilized. It's not the only sports trust. We noted other organization that dispense the money. Now, each and Suguti, I'm suggesting in future, we must have a planning in place, because you cannot have permanent staff, but you creating jobs whereby you can utilize the same permanent staff, and that money, 8%, can be utilized somewhere. Now, I'm shocked, and yes, you are a player in the field, ST. The report was closed in September 8, 2021. Today, we're in March. Today, we don't have a report. And the response that I received, that no, we didn't close it because the report was is going to be tabled in the near future. I think maybe can I ask the department, when are we going to get the final report? Yeah, all the disbursement of COVID-19 funding. When are we going to get that? And I think I would propose it can be any soon as we want, because I question the monitoring and evaluation of the sports trust. How many employees do you have as a sports trust? Because you are saying you can't do it once a month. How can you do it? Tell us, what is your monitoring evaluation mechanism that you have? When can you go and see if it has been built, it has been maintained, whatever project that you have? Because I think another question, I understand Chairperson of ST. I understand that Nenad Bank and others are the trustees, but who are the independent board members or independent, I don't know what you call them. And I think you must declare here your website is not updated. And you've heard AMA members, but they're not aware in different provinces. Imagine we using technology, your website is not even updated. I think you must acknowledge that it's a gap and it must be fixed. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mushongo.
So, last question. Apology, Chair. Last one. The education music, I saw in your website. Do you have any relationship with ITUSA Creative Arts or any other organization with the artistic creative arts? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mushongo. But I must lay your fears that on the 29th of this month, according to our program of this committee, the department is coming to give us the COVID-19 monies. So I'm suspecting that question is covered by the committee itself. Let me take this opportunity to give it to the Sport Trust and the department.
Before you yes. Give the sports trust, let us agree that the bulk of the questions, the follow-up questions that Honorable Mshongo has raised, which are very valid and important. Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, yes, I do.
Oh, well.
I do. And chatting now, I'm a candidate, I don't, Diagova, about DM. DM? Honorable Mshongo, lower your hand. DM.
I'm back now. I was off. I was saying the bulk of the question, the follow-up questions that Honorable Mshongo has raised, which relate to the process and the issue of the relief fund, those questions must be deferred to the meeting of the 29th. Because the department must respond to some of those questions. And some of the suggestions that he had raised, which are very important suggestions, must arise again in that meeting of the 29th. And then we can deal with the specific questions that relate to the sports task. I just wanted us to clarify that, Chair. Thanks so much.
Yeah, we are taking a ride because some of the questions, that's why I was saying that 29th of this month, we are coming back. May I?
When's the guy? What's the guy? What's the guy? What's
the guy?
My apologies, Jomani. My apologies, Honorable Mshongo.
May I give this opportunity to our leaders of Sports Trust?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'll touch on some of answers for some of the questions, and I'll ask the Executive Director to answer the rest of the questions. First of all, on the issue of cash payment, I just wanted to mention that the issue of bank accounts, or what is referred to as the unbanked in South Africa, it's a major problem. Initially, It was due to the fact that if you have a bank account, remember you have to pay fees every month, and some of the people don't have money to pay for such fees. But you must understand, Honorable Msongo, that the issue of the unbanked is real in South Africa. I mean, if you look at the caddies, they basically don't know how much they will get per month. So, normally what they receive for their services is in cash. So it's a problem that I think, as the country move forward, we'll need to address as a nation. And then I just want to also answer your question in terms of the trustees. When the trust was formed, it was formed in such a way that the initial founders of the trust will be the trustees of the trust, and that is still the case today. And those companies that wish to be trustees or companies or government entities, would then have to pay the seed capital. However, we have found up to today, we still have the original trustees. The independent trustees are two. It's myself, called the nominated trustees, and Mervyn Green as well. So it's not a very big board. Like I referred to you previously, that slide, page 20 of the annual report, you'll see the names of the trustees. So the trustees are actually corporates or in the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, and they actually identify a representative from each of the trustees to represent them in the board. So basically that's Madam Chairperson. I'll ask Anita to just answer some of the questions. I think some of the questions here relate to the department as well. Anita?
Thank you.
I think the main question for you, Anita, is the, when I look at my list here, it's the staff complement of the trust.
Yeah, we have a staff complement
of the website. Through you, Chair, the website, I think. The website
part. Yes. Thank you so much. I will address the website. We have a staff complement of 11 people that deliver sport interventions nationally, and we are based in Woodmead. Extension of Sandton in Johannesburg. That's our head office. We do not have any other provincial offices. And in terms of our website, yes, there's a gap. We need to update it with the more recent information, and that will be attended to as a matter of urgency. In terms of the project's monitoring, because of limited resources, we are not able to go to all the projects around the country. However, we do, whenever we're in a province, we make a concerted effort to go to key projects that we have running in provinces to do random site inspections and to engage with the communities in terms of how they're accessing the facilities that we've placed in those communities. Obviously, you will note with sports kit, it's a bit difficult because after 5 years, that soccer jersey might not be in existence anymore. Wear and tear happens and so forth. So with our bigger projects, we do try our best to go and visit them whenever we're in a certain project. We do not charge any of our partners a monitoring fee because of the partnership that they want to engage with. It is all dependent on the partner in terms of the value that they want to invest in the community, and therefore we have to do these visits ad hoc and also via telephone and via our WhatsApp, where we've asked them to send us photographs of our facilities. We have been fortunate that especially with our infrastructure development programs, that communities or schools do come back to us and say to us, well, there has been some vandalism, how can we address those with them? What can they do? So we do help wherever we can
given the limited resources that we have on hand. I hope that I've addressed your questions. Oh, there's a question in terms of how many artists were paid during the cycle of COVID-19. It was on the schedule, it was 39 artists, so it was a very limited number, as the DDG referred to. And then, does the trust have any relationships with any creative entities? We do not have any structured relationships with any entities at this moment in time. However, we are open if you have any suggestions. We welcome them.
Honorable Chairperson, I think the last comment by the executive director answers that question of the number, which was, it doesn't emphasize honorable members, because it was already answered by DDG Khan of the 39. The question about Dr. Kumalo, she is not here today because we look at what are the issues on the agenda, so that then the DDGs are then asked to be part of the presentation. Because next on the 29th, the work cuts across, she will then definitely be here in the meeting of the portfolio committee. She's not on leave, she's at work, Honorable Chairperson. But the rest, I think the DM has answered. And we want to just again assure the committee and generally the South Africans that sports trust in terms of accounting for the money that has been received by the beneficiaries, that accounting has been done, and we are satisfied with that, Chairperson. There is no money that has not been accounted for or allegedly received by the people who are not qualifying to receive. So the chairperson, I think, has answered the question aptly well on emphasizing the issue of the unbanked. But the main issue is, can we account, can those warm bodies be produced if they are required to prove the receipt of the money? And I think those records are there. Honorable Chairperson, we take note of the concern of honorable member on how we can have a vigorous way of ensuring that our systems are watertight in this regard. And we'll continue to work as advised by the committee on refining our systems and processes to address those concerns. Thanks very much.
Thank you, DG. Let me take this opportunity to give it to...
Chair, apology. To the message, the follow-up question I have by answer with DG regarding the letter that came from the DG, the postponement and the cancellation. DG, I think you've received the question.
Yes.
Sure.
I don't know what you are talking about, honorable members. I'm hearing DG saying yes. I'm still chairing this meeting.
Apology, Chair. I've received the message which I must follow up. I think we have connectivity. I apologize, Chair. The question it's regarding the postponement and the letter that you wrote.
No, thanks. Chairperson, can I go ahead?
Yes, DG.
No, thanks very much, Chairperson. Thanks very much. No, the implications going forward is that there will be a negative impact on all the sport championship events based on the issue of the procurement beyond 30,000 rand. At this stage, we are trying, as we with the athletics, the project still went ahead. Thanks very much to the
athletics, SA school athletics, they were able to come to the fore and also assist, which we really appreciated. But the reality at this stage is that that letter still stands. We are only saved when we get an exemption from National Treasury to be able to spend beyond the 30,000, which is what we then do. We write to Treasury and ask for that permission, and with then them applying their minds on whether the reasons advanced justify such an exemption, they respond. When then upon their response, if it is positive, then the games will continue. But if the response is negative, unfortunately, we have to then abide by the law and not be found to be in contempt of continuing, irrespective of Treasury's advice. So at this stage, it is a fluid situation. Some of them are affected mostly because of the short time in which these events were to happen, vis-a-vis the turnaround time in terms of receiving the response. So to be on the safe side, we then had to advise the provinces that they do not find themselves or the department in what we call contempt of court by proceeding with the procurement outside of the advisory, two advisory letters by the National Treasury. So we will advise the committee and the department and the provinces, chairperson, depending on whether we get exemptions or not relating to those games. Thank you.
Thank you, DJ. Thank you. The chairperson, Mr. Matebula, your closing remarks, short, brief, short to the point.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We want to thank you so much for allowing us to present to you. It is an honor for us, and would like to partner with the honorable members in promoting sport in the country. As you know, that in the country sports, and the other benefit, of course, is that it helps our youth. So thank you so much, and I would like to thank Honorable DM and the department, the DG, for partnering with us. We will love the partnership. We reach many rural areas, in terms of sports development, and also partnership with the Department of Basic Education. So thank you so much. We will welcome to come in, visit with you again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Matebula. DM.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you very much for this opportunity. It is always encouraging to come in front of this portfolio committee, because you get challenged, but it also is a very important debate that we understand how, in when we want to make sure that facilities are all over our communities, who is playing a role, and Sports Trust is playing a critical role in that. And we also now understand what is it that we can do better, both as the department, but also as the portfolio committee, to make sure that we spread this more. And I just wanted to say thank you very much for allowing the Sports Trust to present and now and have those clarities, particularly around the issue of the relief fund, which took place, and the suggestions that the portfolio committee members have put forward to actually improve on doing our work better. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, DM, with those words. Let me take this opportunity first to thank our department that you always come and account to us, and we do appreciate. And let me also thank Sports Trust. To have a clean audit for 25 years is not a child's play. Keep it up, the good work. We do appreciate. By those words, we've done with the IT next term in the agenda. We'll go to the next item in our agenda. We are doing well with the time. Let's do likewise in the following items. Our minutes. Thank you. You are released.
You are releasing us. You are releasing us.
Yes. I'm releasing you, Mr. Matebula, and your team. DM with your team. Honorable you. Members.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
So thank you to everybody. Thank you, our visitors. Go put the minutes. One set of minutes. Thank you, Honorable Members. At least they are still fresh in our minds. Once minutes were circulated to our good selves, I'm presenting these minutes to you, Honorable Members. Honorable Members, hoping we have read your minutes. Minutes are in front of us. Can
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Dennis.
Chairperson, yes. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm satisfied with the minutes. I just wanted to make a point about the World Cup Sevens in September 9th to 11th. I'm not sure if we will be briefed. Again, on if that was if that meeting was the last briefing on the World Cup Sevens, or if the committee needs to know more about that, and then I'm sure we all want to attend. And then on the rugby side, Chairperson, I want to just make the point that about Mr. Yuri Roo, I wanted just to make the point about the fact that legal opinion is obtained and the CEO is still in the organization, if he have access to that information about the legal opinion, then SARU is actually doing, one can claim that SARU is doing that legal opinion also on his behalf, if he has access to that information. I just wanted to make that point, Chairperson. And then the last point, the concern was the Model C schools, that doping, that SARU says they work well with CES, but they do not have control over the doping in schools, as the governing bodies in the Model Cs control the sports. And I think as a committee, we at some stage we need to touch on this, because that is a problem for me, that certain schools then is excluded because we have to consult with parents first or other people first, or CES have to consult with them first, if you have access to do the anti-doping test. But I'm happy with the minutes. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Dennis, the last point that we are raising, this point, it's upon us as a committee and the department who have been, the states have been telling us that until the Department of Education must amend there was this thing that the parents from Model C schools are not allowing random tests, and as this committee has been saying that the act by Department of Education must be fast that he may be in the coming meeting, we did raise this with them, that they must assist to talk to the sister department. But with the Rabbi issue of the CEO, we took a decision last meeting that as this committee, we want that Rabbi must come back in order that they must come and report to us. It can't be take months that their legal advise them. So as this committee, we did resolve on that. So we'll be looking at our program as we are aware that we are going for a recess. All what the committee indicated in all of outstanding issues will prioritize that. So I'm suspecting all what we are saying are in the capable hands of your committee and the administration of the committee. I thank you. Any other issue, or may I call now somebody to adopt the minutes? Yes, Honorable Mshonko.
There were documents that we have presented to the meeting, for example, a letter from the legal advisor.
Now, yes, in the problem. I can't hear you. Try to sort whatever is distracting you. We can't hear you clearly.
Can you hear me now, Chair? Apologies.
Yes. Yeah. Clearly.
Apologies, Chair. Thank
no
you.
Problem.
I was saying on cricket, I agree with you, but we can't wait for the meeting. There were issues that we wanted letters to be forwarded to us. For an example, the legal advice opinion, which the letter must be forwarded. It doesn't take us to meet. We must just get the letter. And then on the day we plan when we're going to have a meeting with them. Those are the issues I wanted to raise, agreeing with the Honorable Dennis. Thank you. And with you, Chair.
Okay. Let's correct our good selves. I was thinking that when we declared that we want that opinion, they were saying they were waiting for the final legal advice. If we want the present information which they are relying on, I don't think we do have a problem. But the correct information that we were waiting, when they were saying that they are waiting for the finalization of their legal advice, so we'll take note of what we are saying as the office, and if any information is with them, Zoleka Jabu, write down and ask to them that they must circulate any information from their legal advice which are having. Thank you, Honorable Mshonko. I want somebody to propose adoption of the minutes. Hello.
I move for the adoption of the minutes. If there's
thank
no
you.
One, maybe I'm breaking, I'm not sure.
Yes. Honorable Zondi. You know what happened? In my charter, I was still looking at the minutes. I'm very sorry. Now take out the minutes.
I don't have a problem in second honorable.
Yes. The minutes are proposed by Honorable Mshonko and seconded by the Honorable Zondi. Now we have done with the minutes, Honorable Members. Honorable Members, the last point on the agenda, we are doing well. Everybody, the hands must be down. And then we are going to the last point on the agenda, the letter of Minister forwarded to the committee. Honorable Mhlongo.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I think if you've read the letter from the minister, I think on the closed door policy, there's this centralism, or I don't know what you call it, which things must not happen this way. And I think we are in oversight work. Writing emails to DG, it's a normal thing that it must be processed. Imagine we are not going to meet for the whole month next month because we are going for recess. Imagine us, if I have an issue, I must just keep quiet till we meet again. And sometimes the issues that are not on the agenda, they need clarity immediately. Now, I believe to Minister Udoji, he's running away to account. And there's no way, there's no committee in my lifetime. I was a councillor. We've never had an MMC to say, don't write emails to me or don't write emails to the DG. You know, it shows something dodgy that he doesn't want us to make him to account. I want you to state it clearly. This letter, I don't understand it. Accountability. That is my view. And I believe the minister must tell us more. What is he thinking on that? Because he's not here. And I think he must respond to us. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, the letter is in the charter. Any other intake?
Yes, sir.
Chair. I want yes, hands, sir. Honorable Zondi and Honorable Madlungozi. Honorable members, let me ask all who want to talk, they must raise their hands. We don't have enough time, honorable members. I'm noting the honorable Veronica in that order, honorable members. I don't know whether other members are still in the platform. Honorable Malomane. I'm rushing because honorable members, we need to have chance of getting those who are getting to the bus whilst we are still having our own members. Honorable Zon?
No, Chair. Thank you very much. I'm going to
I don't have a lot to say.
I just want to say the I've read the letter, and as long as the minister will come to the portfolio committee from time to time and respond to the activities of the department, I don't have a problem with the processes or on the communication side. But as far as the letter is concerned, I think I don't have a problem with it. For me, it's within the law that the minister should be conducted this way. So I don't have a problem with the letter, Chair. Thanks.
Honorable Madlungozi.
Chair, no. I was the way the minister put out that letter, and the way he introduced it was more like on a very aggressive manner, and I think that he could have introduced it in a better manner, but we are working responsibly with him. I don't mind about how he wants to cut off the human part of our dealing with him, but at the same time I would have loved if he had responsibly and respectably like told us that, listen, I'm not your friend, I'm not going to accept anything from you, but listen, talk through the chairperson, then it's okay. But otherwise, it's all right, chairperson. So.
Thank you, Honorable Mashlinkos. Honorable Veronica.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think it's important that we have an open line of communication to our minister and our deputy minister and also our DG, because we're all in an oversight role. Sometimes it happens that you cannot get a quick response on written questions, your motions and statements that you use to do oversight. And I think it's just fair that we then know that we can approach our department for answers. It seems to me that if I can just bring up an example, like this sport event that was cancelled on short notice, is National Athletics, Sport Athletics, School Athletics on last weekend. This week there's an event in Potchefstroom, but we're not even sure if it's going to take place. We didn't have the opportunity this morning to ask the question. We're still not quite sure about it, but then we should have the opportunity to write a letter to the DG and request for a response, because people ask us, and how does it look when we from the department, from the MP side, are not able to give a response on what is happening in our own department? That cannot be right. So I definitely support that we must be able to write to our department and also to our minister. That is part of our oversight role.
Thank you, Honorable Veronica. Honorable Malomane.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I also read the letter from the minister that was addressed to you as a chairperson. I think if it is according to the rules and the regulations of the National Assembly, we need to follow that. But if maybe we are having challenges as the Portfolio Committee or as members of the Portfolio Committee, we can maybe contact you as a chairperson and then speak to you so that maybe we can, all of us as a committee, address a matter that we are having. But I also think maybe if we are having a meeting with the minister, maybe in the clarity, if there can be any clarity, if there are other things that they wanted to say. But as members, I think if we can adhere to the regulations or the rules of National Assembly, it will be correct. So thank you, Chair. I don't have any problem with the letter. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Honourable Members, I've heard all your views, and the letter is on our screen. I'm concur with all what we are saying. I'm suspecting this letter needs not even that we must discuss, but if any time, as I used to do this, if there's something which is very urgent that the chairperson must be given and then coming back to the committee. But also I do have so many letters which are written to me and by the entire country. So I will not always taking them to the committee. Sometimes I'll just refer to the relevant people who are supposed to respond. It's then that if they don't respond, I'll seek clarity and I'll take it to the committee. But we have noted what the minister is saying. We are noted what members feeling. We'll carry on doing our work, and we carry on trying to do what is in this letter. But also, as the committee, we do have chairperson, and chairperson is working with the collective of our good selves. With those words, I do close the meeting, Honourable Members.
Chairperson, then.
My hand is up.
Honourable Dennis.
Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity.
I don't know the hands which are. There are hands which have been on the screen. That's the operational issue here in this committee. Some members, they don't lower their hands. And when now I'm seeing the hand for the starting of the meeting and the hand is still on the platform whilst other people are contributing, I'm not sure. For instance, I'm having the hand of Honorable Veronica, the hand of Honorable Mhlong, but I'm still having somebody on the floor, which is Honorable Dennis. So I've been asking members when you finish contribute, lower your hand in order that I must be aware when I'm not calling you to know whether it is an old hand. Honorable Dennis.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, Chairperson. Sorry that I raised my hand, but I understand that you are confused with all the hands. It's up, it should be down, yes, and so on. So, Chairperson, I do not want to repeat what you've said about the letter. I just wanted to concur with the members and your expression that there are rules, but the minister, I'm sure, he's willing to account when he needs to account. I want to bring another point to your attention, Chairperson, not for discussion, but just for the committee's attention. There was a bus accident on Robben Island 2 Wednesdays ago. A bus accident, yeah, people got hurt, injured. So I followed it up, but there's no report yet, so I would like you, Chairperson, just to follow up with RIM so that they can give us a report on what actually has happened there. Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to bring that to the committee's attention.
Thank you for that. I was not aware. Thank you, Honourable Member. As quickly as today, I'll write to ask for information to the office. I'm still having a hand of Honourable Song.
Thank you, Chair. I think the members must note that we object on the way the minister is presenting this letter to us, and we don't accept it because the minister is always absent. He's like today, he's not there. Now, how can we wait for meeting for him to respond to us via questions and answers and the debate and the committee? There's no way. We have to write emails to him. He must account to us if there's an issue. I don't want to be a friend with the minister. We don't say we have to be friends, but he must account when we ask pertaining issues pertaining his department as a political base for the department. Please note our comments. Thank you very much.
Honorable Msongo, it's only yourself saying that you are objecting. All other members are saying that they've noted the letter, and if any other thing, any correspondent or on anything, the chairperson with the committee must take that. So when they're saying
it's on behalf of the DA, Chair. The DA is objecting. The minister must give an account via an email, via a question, via a debate. Like today, he's absent. He must come and account. It's not only me.
Honorable
members
Song,
of the DA.
Point of order,
Honorable Maloma.
Thank you, Chair. The point of order is that... Thank you, Chair. The point of order is that Honorable Msongo must not include everyone in his view. I said I've noted the letter and I don't have any challenge with the letter as it is.
Point of order, you are not the member of the DA. I've said members of the DA.
Honorable Msongo, when you call point and order and then you do take the platform without me recognizing you, don't do this, Honorable Msongo.
We are all members of
this committee.
I apologize.
Yeah. Honorable Malomani, can I, in that note, Honorable Msongo is saying that I point of order to you because he is talking on behalf of PDA, but the only thing that I must report to this, it must record it. We have an apology of the minister today that is attending the cabinet meeting. I don't think what the rider of Honorable Msongo is relevant in what he is saying. We have an apology, and no one. Honorable Msongo, you know what, Honorable Msongo, you must respect us in the committee. I'm still trying to explain what we are saying. Now I'm still talking, you are talking to me. Honorable Msongo, you have got a right to speak and everyone in this committee. Don't do this every day, Honorable Msongo. This is not about you. Honorable Msongo must go out and campaign to become the minister, as a shadow minister.
Point of order, Chair.
I don't know point of order because I was still clarifying on what we are saying, but whilst I was still talking, you were talking. What do you want?
I was asking for a personal privilege, personal explanation.
I'm still speaking. Honorable Mshongo, you know your behavior in this committee.
Yeah.
It needs to be looked at, Honorable Mshongo. Honorable Mshongo, every day is about you. You don't respect us in the committee. You must know this, that I must tell you today. I've been tolerating you, but Honorable Mshongo, you don't have respect to anyone in this committee. It's all about you. And we are not going to tolerate what we are doing, Honorable Mshongo. This committee is doing well, but if your views are not taken by the majority of the committee, you are disrupting the committee. You are so disruptive, Honorable Mshongo. I must tell you, every day when we are always calm and wanting to keep the decorum of the committee, you are doing this. I was not even landed whilst I was as a chairperson rounding what the members and your good self was saying. All other members, they were patiently listening. But when whilst I'm speaking, undingene mlonyeni, Honorable Mshongo, even don't do this here. We are all honorables and we need the respect from you, Honorable Mshong. No, it's too much, Honorable Mshong. We have been doing this since inception. Now, Honorable Mshongo, you must behave like any other member of this committee. It must be recorded that I'm saying that. No, it's too much, Honorable Mshong. Honorable members, the meeting is adjourned.
The person, you cannot
thank
shut
you.
Me down. I've raised the hand.
Thank you, Chairman.
You
I am almost
shut
down.
Chair, bye.
Out of order, you're suppressing me.
I cannot allow you to suppress me.
Shut up. I'm suppressing
you.
To
raise any issue in this
room. There's nothing you can do.
Shut up. You're shut up. You're worse than all of us.